gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the back to school of free speech. Hey, we're already in late September. What are you talking about, back to school? Well, I don't know. But it's that back to school kind of weather where it's not summer anymore. And some people like the autumn. But it's not summer anymore. We're back at school. We're going in, and Mrs. Eccles is just blah, 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 blah. We're sitting in the back wishing that we'd gotten more sleep last night. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. No, not extension 3. Operators are standing by. So is Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Patrick. And I think RBN is the backyard chicken foraging area of free speech, because I have chickens now, and we're going to be foraging here in a minute. And that's where I let them out of the coop, and they have free range to find little nuggets out in the yard. And that's how RBN is. It gives you free range to find nuggets of free speech and topics to discuss. So how about that?
There you go. So we just wrapped up one recording session. I don't know if we can wrap up this one all in one go, but we finished up the last show talking about Russian influence in the United States. To what extent is there? And what I was saying was that it's pretty insignificant. I honestly, I wish there was a lot more influence from Russia and China. I wish they had more influence in our system, but I think it's just a bunch of Jews who have influence in our system. That's what I would say, but maybe I don't know.
Yeah, and Mom was just saying, I was saying to the extent that Russia influences policies here, it's not the actual government, but it's people like Dugin who I think have been the inspiration for maybe a lot of movements here with some of the books that he wrote in 97 on geopolitics. I was making that case. I think we came to a good synthesis. We don't want to go too far one way or the other. We don't want to say there's nothing, you know, going on there, but we also don't want to make too big of a deal about it. I think right along the middle is a good place to lie on that topic. We have other topics.
Let's go on to the other topics.
Let's see. We got Telegram handing over data after this CEO's arrest in France. And then we also have blacks in Chicago preparing for street wars against Venezuelans. Two very, very hot topics there. Where do you want to start?
Let's go for the data stuff. Let's go for that first.
Yeah, I picked this up in the Stormer, and they're citing The Guardian. It starts off with a tweet from Mario Nofal. I don't know who that is. Telegram to share phone numbers and IP addresses of bad actors with authorities. Telegram has updated its terms of service to share phone numbers and IP addresses of users violating its rules with authorities, according to founder Pavel Durov. That's the dude that was arrested. From The Guardian, Durov said on Monday that the messaging platform had removed more problematic content and would take a more proactive approach to complying with government requests. The announcement comes weeks after his arrest in France on charges of failing to act against criminals using the app. Telegram's search feature has been used by people who violated our terms of service to sell illegal goods, this according to Durov. And over the past few weeks, staff have combed through Telegram using artificial intelligence to ensure all the problematic content we identified in search is no longer accessible. All right, Durov added that the platform had updated its terms of service and privacy policy to make clear that it would share infringers' details with authorities, including internet IP addresses and phone numbers, in response to valid legal requests. Now, this is fascinating to me. If you're not familiar with Telegram, and apparently it's a messaging app, and you can get on there and communicate with others. A lot of the people that would say they're from the alt-right or pro-white movements were able to get on there and share information better than they would, let's say, like Facebook Messenger. If you try to share certain things on Facebook Messenger, it's banned. Basically, your message is banned. And you yourself could have your profile banned. And the same thing, Instagram's not as bad. And TikTok is really one of the more free speech platforms where pretty much anything goes, within certain guidelines. I mean, you're not going to be able to post you know, openly violent stuff on there. But honestly, most of the videos that we got from the Palestinian genocide came from TikTok, and they filtered down through Instagram. So in other words, people with a TikTok profile would share it, and someone from Instagram would pick that up, and then Instagram and Facebook are connected with Meta. And with all of these platforms, you're going to have an IP address and a phone number. And that's, you know, going to be the perfect way to like find out who the person is using it and where they're at exactly. And what Telegram is saying now is that they're going to share that information with people who violate their terms. So of course the picture is painted that on Telegram, what was happening is, and I'm sure it was, that you had people, you know, sharing child porn or, you know, contacting underage individuals who had a Telegram and maybe getting them to do illegal things on camera. You had that going on. So that's what they're saying they're cracking down on. But if you're reading between the lines, I think what they're really wanting to do is crack down on anybody that's doing anti-Semitic or racist incidences, sharing Palestinian genocide videos, and people like that that would be considered dissidents, I think is what they're really going to crack down on and share their IP address and phone number with government authorities. So if you're in Europe and you're posting, you know, Holocaust revisionist information on Telegram, you could get a knock on your door, get zip tied, your dog shot, and drug out into the yard and arrested. Because they're going to, Telegram's going to share that, your information with authorities. That's where they're going with it.
Indeed, that's where they're going with it. And the child porn or whatever other blatantly illegal activities, that's just a scam. By the way, I'm about to go through a reception dead zone for about 15 seconds. Would you like the filibuster?
Yeah, I mean, and we were calling this years ago when they were talking about AI. And everybody was making such a big deal out of artificial intelligence. And I mean, almost like in a sci-fi type of way. And you think about movies like the one 20 years ago where the little boy was a robot. Man, I can't think of the name of that. I'll pull it up on the computer here in a minute. But Joel Osment, I think, was the child actor. And this couple had lost their son, and they wanted to get a replica of him. So this company gave them a robot that looked, you know, totally human and had, you know, it was an artificial intelligence. It could learn. It could you know, do all of that. You had that going on, and you had this stuff about the Terminator, and this Hollywood basically just fueling this idea that computers could be self-aware, and that's where they were sort of, you know, drawing everyone's attention to. Hey, they're going to make robots that are self-aware. When really what it is, I think what AI is really meant for, and what it is being used for, openly they're saying it now, is it can calculate and run through data tremendously fast. So they have collected so much data on the global populace, you know, in the last 25, 30 years of the internet. You know, people started getting internet in the 90s, right? And, you know, even emails, even if you just had an email in the 90s, all of that's on a server somewhere. None of it disappears. And that data is there to be collected, everything you've ever posted, and even conversations on your cell phone, even if it was a flip phone, because all of that ran through some computer and on a, you know, somewhere on a server. So an AI can go through and comb through that information. And let's say you're posting dissident things online, or you're saying things on RBN. If they want to target you, they'll stick that AI on and run, pull up everything you've ever done. And if you're in, let's say, the UK, there's a lot of things you can say that's illegal, you know, talking, you know, anti-Semitic and racist things. What they would consider that anti-Semitic and racist, that's illegal. In America, however, we do have freedom of speech, allegedly. So they wouldn't come after you based on things that you posted per se, unless maybe you posted something about doing violence to a political person, right? But what they could do is pull up all of this stuff and send it to the CEO of the company you work for and get you fired. That's definitely something they could do in America. If they put together information, let's say you got a lot of right wingers now that are like outlaw, you know, country type people. They you know, they like their whiskey, their weed, and their guns. Well, even though weed is legal in most states, in a lot of states, it is still a federal crime to have like marijuana and a weapon, you know, in the same house or in the car. And so if you're saying dissident stuff and they figure out that you have the situation where you've got like, you know, marijuana and weapons, they can stick the feds on you and arrest you for that. So really, you know, we have freedom of speech, but really we don't. They can come after you in different ways. And we saw this with people like, you know, Mark Houck, who was a abortion protester. He was a pro-life protester. And he got into a shoving match with one of the pro-abortion guys. And they came after him not for protesting abortion, but for violating the FACE Act. They said that he, blocked the entrance to the abortion clinic. So they can come after you in all different manners. It's in America, they can come after anything like that. But in UK, for strictly stuff you've said. Go ahead.
So I forgot the guy's name, his first name, but last name Beria. He was a head of the KGB under Stalin. He was a Georgian, not a Jew. He was from Georgia. I believe he's the guy who said, "Show me the man, I'll show you the crime." So tuck that away. And famously, the KGB had files on people. When we talked about files, yeah, they had actually like paper folders and there was papers and maybe some photographs in those files. And it was like that, right, up until the end. The Soviets, while they did have computers, they never had like microcomputers. I remember one of the articles I was reading. When I studied Russian, I was reading some articles in the Russian language, and I just remember one article stating that, you know, microcomputers, we haven't even mastered the ballpoint pen yet. So they never got good at that. And, of course, if you look at America, if you're old enough to remember Y2K, the whole thing about Y2K is data storage was so expensive if you went back to the 50s and 60s, where things were, where data was being stored on punch cards or maybe magnetic tape, that it was worthwhile to abbreviate years in programs just to abbreviate the year with two digits instead of the full four digits. You were saving two digits, and that was worthwhile initially because data storage was so expensive, and it got cheaper. And when I was when I was studying programming in elementary school, we studied BASIC, and that was on punch cards. And when I started a college course, COBOL, I was taking COBOL programming. That was on punch cards. But then I took another BASIC programming class, and that was on 8-inch floppy drives. An 8-inch floppy disk could store 128K, maybe depending on how it's formatted. And then, you know, they got to be 5-inch floppy disks, and then 3.5-inch floppy disks that weren't really even floppy. My first hard drive, which I bought, it was used, so it wasn't the state of the art, but I got my first hard drive, I guess, in like 1991 or something. It was 5 megabytes, but, you know, enough to store several programs on. So all this was really, really expensive. Well, then it came down, and somewhat after 9/11, they built this massive basketball arena-sized facility, I believe in Utah, to just store massive amounts of data. It was still expensive compared to today, but they built this thing, and that was big enough to store all the data from all our phone calls, things like that. So now they could store the data, but could they access it in any meaningful kind of way? Because you had to, you know, people would say, "Oh yeah, we need to collect data so that we can see patterns, and then we'll find the bad people who are linked to terrorism or whatever." But no. At the time when this was originally set up, it was more like a giant KGB file on everybody. And the KGB files, it wasn't as if people were scouring over the files looking for patterns. It was just, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. And so once somebody came on the radar screen, they had a lot of information on them, and then they could find a crime for them. So that's what it was in the aughts. But with artificial intelligence, this is a long-winded thing, but getting to what you're saying, with the artificial intelligence, I think now we are at the point where you can have AI scour through all of these files, all of this data that has been collected on everybody for decades. And they have, and when I say they, who do I mean by they? Well, to a large extent, Israelis. Amdocs is, there. If you go to nationalbugle.com, and on the left-hand side, right at the top, the first link is to a 2001 Brit Hume Carl Cameron segment where they're describing all of the information that the Israeli firm Amdocs gets from the telecom companies, because they did all the telecom companies' billing for them. And, you know, it goes way beyond telecom. It goes to health data. I mean, there's Israeli companies that are employed by hospital systems to collect everybody's data, their health data. So they've got just massive amounts of data on everybody. And now with AI, they may well have the ability to seek out people before they come on the radar screen. And so that's why, you know, what you're bringing up regarding Telegram. Telegram was an app that was popular among the dissident right. And now, is it going to be weaponized against us? That's my question.
Well, I would like to answer your question, and I would say yes. And they're openly saying this now. Of course, everybody wants to stop child predators, and I'm not being facetious when I say that. But there's many better ways, you know, to do that. I mean, number one, let's go back to, if you're going to use the internet, you got to have a credit card. Now, that's problematic too, because now there can be no more anonymity, right? So any form of trying to police the internet or protect children is going to take away anonymity, right? It's almost like you can't have a safe internet and anonymity. So there's problems there, you know. But getting back to this whole thing, you know, the social media, and I've got some data on this. This is fascinating. I just pulled this up. All right, since 1996, all right, social media has managed to infiltrate more than half of the 8.06 billion people in the world. Now, this is according to Sprout Social. So there were the social media network tripled their total user base in the last decade, right? In 2010, there were 970 million people using social media. This is according to this website, Sprout Social. And in July of 2024, there were 5.17 billion users. That number is staggering, from 970 million to 5.17 billion. And it's kind of like...
And that's users of what? Of the internet?
Social media platforms.
Okay. So and so that is like two-thirds of the world population.
I mean, yeah. 5.7 billion out of approximately 8 billion. And it's because, you know, these phones are so cheap now. I mean, you can go to Walmart and get a little Samsung phone for $50 and take excellent quality pictures, video, and get on any platform. And, you know, it's all registered in your name. And that's what's happening in these third world countries. And it's why we got the Palestinian genocide brought to us, you know, through our phones and totally circumvented CNN and Fox News. And so it's a problem for them on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's a tool for them. I mean, we know that the CIA used Facebook and other social media in the Arab Spring. But it's getting even deeper than that. It's getting deeper than using social media to organize political protests. This can actually program the user. And I've noticed this in the last probably 4 years since COVID. I've really started studying this. And I can look at my friends list on Facebook. I don't know. I think it's 500 people. I forgot. But I can predict how each person is going to act and react to whatever post that's put out or that I put out, just based on me casually observing their behavior online. I can tell which ones were pro-COVID, pro-mask, anti-COVID, anti-vax, pro-Trump, pro-Bernie. I mean, I can tell how they're going to react. Now, if I can do that casually observing, what can the AI do? And it actually influences and affects the way that people think. It literally hacks you, especially, you know, your run-of-the-mill normies that are not unplugged from the matrix, if you will, and they're just rolling about life, doing their jobs and going to school, and they don't see what we see. It's very easy to influence and affect these people. So it's not only a social media tool for governments to collect data, but also to influence the way people think. Interesting interview that I learned about from Chris Hinckley's show, Rogueberry Radio. This interview, Noah Yuval Harari has been interviewed a few times, but this particular one was with Anderson Cooper. And the headline from CBS is, Yuval Harari warns humans will be hacked if artificial intelligence is not globally regulated. Now, this is fascinating. I'm sure you're familiar with Harari. He's a professor at Jerusalem University, you know, so very jazz. He's talking with Cooper, and they're making the case. And, of course, Cooper is what? Yale graduate.
Harari guy. What's his first name? Noah?
Yeah, Yuval, his first name is the form of Jubal, Yuval, Noah Harari.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the rebel madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, dixierepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Yale graduate.
Harari guy. What's his first name? Noah?
Yeah, Yuval is his first name. It's a form of Jubal, Yuval, Noah Harari.
And is he the guy that's very much in with the World Economic Forum? Is he like one of Klaus Schwab's scientists? Is that the guy that, or is it somebody else?
Well, he's about 48. He's an Israeli public intellectual. He's a professor at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. Let's see. He wrote some books, A Brief History of Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind. I don't think he's with the Economic Forum. I don't see anything like that in here.
Okay.
Unless he was consulted by them. But anyway, he's giving this, I mean, he's a well-known intellectual and I guess, in the Jewish circles, and he's given this interview with Anderson Cooper, right? Cooper, of course, is the homo graduate from Yale that did two summer interns with the CIA. Funny that, but in this interview on CBS, they're making the case basically, and I'm not going to read the whole article, that the world's artificial intelligence, it should be controlled by governments because it has the ability to hack human beings, and this kind of goes along the lines of what we're talking about.
And what does hack human beings even mean?
Right. Well, I mean, I can give you an example that I was thinking of when I was reading this. Before I read you what they're telling me. So like, I told you I monitor people on my Facebook. Well, I can figure out if I want to get into it with somebody, and I sort of did this for fun back in COVID. I knew exactly what to post. I knew who would comment on it to argue with me. And I already formulated in my head counterpoints because I knew what their points were going to be. So in a way I was sort of directing this person to get into it with me. Right.
I mean, that maybe is one thing. That might be more of a manipulation than a hack. But the way Harari describes it, just to bottom line it, he says that these advertising companies know more about you than you do. And that just with a few likes on Facebook, maybe 10 to 20 likes, the AI and the algorithms can figure out almost everything about you with just your like history and different things that you post and comment on. And then they can sort of direct you and push you into a certain way of thinking. Now, this is, of course, for the weak-minded people. I mean, it almost sounds like the Jedi mind trick, right, that these are not the droids you're looking for. But it is sort of a way that they're saying that they're making the case that AI can hack into a human being. In other words, get into your mind, figure out what you're thinking and what you're probably going to do in next week or in 10 years. That sounds a little weird, but, I mean, this was a legit interview. And reading between the lines, what Harari and Cooper are really saying is that, you know, intelligence communities should be able to control AI. For the purpose of controlling people. That's the case they're making when you read between the lines, and it's even out there. Let me just read a quote from Harari. The world is increasingly kind of cut up into spheres of data collection, data harvesting. In the Cold War, you had the Iron Curtain. Now we have the Silicon Curtain, that the world is increasingly divided between the USA and China. Does your data go to California, or does it go to Shenzhen and Shanghai and to Beijing? That's unquote from Harari. Funny that, Harari. You know what? It goes to Israel. That's where it goes.
I stand with the chinks in their damn balloons.
Yeah, but you know, the CIA and you know, MI6 in Britain, I mean, they need to control this data. Israel intelligence, our best friend forever, they need to control this data and AI. Well, another thing,
look what they did with the data when they had the data of pocket page users in in Lebanon. What did they do with it? They blew those people up.
Exactly. Well, it can get even more sinister and nefarious. So, you know, a lot of people use the Tor network to get on the dark web. Now, we've discussed dark web on here before, but I don't want to rehash too much, but I never knew what the dark web was until Andrew Anglin's Daily Stormer site got seized, the domain. And I was in the comments section of it in the chat, and somehow I got the message that when he got back online, he gave us an onion, you know, a stormer.onion basically website. And he said you had to get on, you know, Tor and preferably get a VPN. And get on the dark web. And I'm like, what in the hell is the dark web? And so, you know, I studied and looked into all of that. And of course, most people are familiar with that by now. It's like common talking points. But, you know, Onion was developed in the 90s, I guess, to spy on the Chinese or something. And it's just layered. It's supposed to be such that you can't trace back to an IP address. Of course, you can. I mean, eventually. So then they come up with the virtual, you know, the VPN, virtual private network, which basically lets you not only mask your IP address, but make it look like your IP is somewhere else, like in Germany or whatever. And, you know, of course, bad people use the VPNs and get on the dark web to do like all kinds of nefarious stuff, from human trafficking, child porn, illegal weapons sales and drugs and all that. So here's what I found very interesting. And I'm going to put you on, I sent you a screenshot of this. Let me get back. So I Googled what company owns the most VPNs, and I took a screenshot of the results and sent it to you. It's Cape Technologies. So I looked into that, into Cape Technologies, and it looks like all of these VPNs are being basically consolidated. And where did I put that? Teddy, here we go. Teddy Sagai is an Israeli billionaire, and he is pretty much is over Cape Technology, Playtech, ExpressVPN. All of these VPNs are being consolidated under this in this Teddy Sagai and under the control of Israeli intelligence, which is scary because you would think, okay, that's a good thing. They're going to stop the child porn guys. I don't think so. I think when it comes down to speech being completely taken away from people and made illegal, that dissidents who use VPNs.
The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone. Still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey. Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A five-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by Mynutra. Why is hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
My fickle friend, the summer wind. The summer wind, warm summer wind. The summer wind.
Because you would think, okay, that's a good thing, they're going to stop the child porn guys. I don't think so. I think when it comes down to speech being completely taken away from people and made illegal, that dissidents who use VPNs, I mean, everything is traceable. I don't care if you have a VPN. You know, if you bought it from one of these companies, they can trace your IP still because they have that data. You're operating on the assumption when you use a VPN that the company you got it from is not going to throw you to the wolves. You see what I mean? And I think that's the game here. This is a huge effort for this Israeli billionaire and Cape Technologies to gobble up all the VPNs and to have total control over what you think you're doing in private. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're gathering all this information, and here's the thought I have is that they're using this like child pornography angle. Everybody's against child pornography. We got to protect the children. But they're just using this as an angle to push through laws or regulations or systems in order to get into everybody's information. And it reminds me, you know, Joe Biden once famously said if Israel didn't exist, we'd have to invent it. And I wonder how much child porn is there really? And I think Joe Biden might say if child porn didn't exist, we'd have to invent it, because it's just the perfect way of gaining access you know, nobody can argue with it. So everybody's, so in order to combat child porn, Telegram has to give you, has to give the government everybody's data, this type of thing. So that, I mean, that's my initial thought. I kind of think it's funny to say Joe Biden would say if child porn didn't exist, we'd have to invent it. You know, there was an article in the Gateway Pundit, which is a gay MAGA website, and it was something like Joe Biden said that they're telling him to stay away from the little girls, but he's not listening to them. They have some weird headlines. Anyway, so was that what you were expecting, or did I not answer your question and not address it?
No, that's exactly what it is, and it's going to, you know, they've already encountered problems, you know, 10 years ago with social media and dissidents on social media being able to circumvent the mainstream news. Now they're cracking down on that, tracing, you know, IPs and releasing that to the government so they can come after you. Now they're going to crack down on what you think you're doing in private with a VPN on Tor. They're trying. It's this, you know, successful effort, might I add, to control all dissident information out there. No, they don't care about child porn. They're probably running it out of Tel Aviv. You know, most of it's probably coming out of there, and the trafficking as well. We know that that they totally justify trafficking women, you know, to the Saudi Arabia, so they can get crapped on by, you know, billionaire sheiks and oil tycoons. So it's like, this is rotten to the core and all the way on the outside of the apple peel. And you're going to, you know, this is the time where you have to be very, very careful about what you do online. So, because this is going to be, and is being used as a weapon against us. And this all goes back to the original article we were talking about. Telegram is now going to release, you know, IP information to the government on dissidents. So we're in the middle of it. This is a new warfare, cyber warfare. And they're holding the cards, pal. Yeah, so, you know, I know you're working and you felt sick and everything. So, by the way, you need to get on Extendivite and SheLegit and Hemp Paste. Shout out to Extendivite, SheLegit and Hemp Paste, RBN. Anyway, I wanted to shift gears and in the last few minutes cover this Stormer article in Chicago. New York Post claims that blacks are preparing for street war against Venezuelans. And we predicted this, didn't we? That, you know, our own black community now, our own gangs, the Crips and the Bloods, yo, they're going to be at the front line combating this vicious immigration. And, you know, what better people to do that? There's some hard pop-hitting niggas. You know, New York Post, after serving 20 years in state prison for murder, former gangbanger Tyrone Muhammad never expected to return to the city's tough south side and find Venezuelan migrants and the criminal teen, the criminal gang Tren de Aragua. Aragua, I'm not pronouncing that right, but it's a famous, infamous gang, moving into his territory. Muhammad, 53, who's gone straight and runs a street patrol and violence prevention program called Ex-Cons, he's saying that Venezuelan gangs are flooding shelters and taking over apartment buildings, and they're the last straw for the struggling African-American community. He says they're furious at seeing government money go to what they call non-citizens. And it goes on, but isn't this interesting? And this is what we were talking about maybe a month ago, is that this influx of Haitians and Venezuelans, especially this organized Venezuelan gang that's you know, organized across state lines. Hey, there you go, FBI. No, that's not important. FBI can't focus on the Venezuelan gangs. They have white nationalist criminals and terrorists to deal with, right? So instead, this act of combating Venezuelan violence is going to be relegated to the Bloods and the Crips in Chicago. What do you think of that, Patrick?
Yeah. Oh, thank God for the Crips and the Bloods. I remember seeing Sean Hannity once saying, thank God for the IDF. He was just chanting that. Yeah, we white people, we're the bad guys. But thankfully, the Bloods and the Crips are going to do battle with these Venezuelans. Do we even have a country? Is it a country?
And is this by design? I mean, you know, I know you don't like to speak too conspiratorial, but my goodness, looking at the since Floyd and COVID, I mean, it goes way back before that, you know, with the battle between the alt-right and the liberal left, but especially it escalated in the summer of Floyd. It almost feels like the system, the Jewish-dominated system, is antagonizing the American public to go to war against itself for the purpose of
I don't know, when you have violence in the street, isn't that a perfect case to declare, you know, harsh rule by force, military law, basically? I don't know. You tell me, am I being too conspiratorial?
Well, okay. So my problem isn't that that people have plans or schemes, right? Obviously, there are schemes. Obviously, if you're talking about mass immigration, you can go back and you can read an article by Jacob Javits, who was in the House of Representatives at the time, later became a senator from New York, a Jew, a Republican Jew. But he wrote an article in like 1952, Open the Gates. And then Dr. Duke likes to quote a Perlmutter Institute report on mass immigration, and that the United States is rapidly reaching the point where an ethnic-based nationalist movement could not take power because it wouldn't have the majority. I mean, so this type of thing, there was a broad consensus in the Jewish community for immigration. Now, what were we talking about here? Summer Floyd and all this? What are we talking about? My brain's all screwed up today. Yeah. It's roid rage.
I know you're trying to work in. What I'm talking about is Summer of Floyd. So I was making the case that it seems like there's a concerted effort by the system to divide America and get everyone fighting amongst themselves.
Okay. Well, here's my question. So when you can look at Americans as a whole, and by Americans, you're including whites and blacks and immigrants and everybody else, and say, okay, well, then they're divided. But the thing is, if you look at blacks, blacks aren't really divided within themselves. None of these groups are particularly divided within themselves. Now, if you say Asians, Asian is a fake category, but Indians aren't divided within themselves, and Chinese Americans aren't divided within themselves, and Japanese aren't divided. Now, the Japanese and the Chinese and the Koreans don't really like each other, but the various groups are not divided within themselves, with the notable exception of whites, that are who are the most at, you know, we are the group that is the most attacked, under attack, and yet totally divided. I guess you'd say a majority of white Americans are Republican leaning and will vote for Trump, a majority, but what's that majority? Like 55%? You know, women, white women, I guess white married women will vote Republican and Trump. White single women sure don't. So it's very divided. The whites are divided amongst themselves, and so many whites have joined up with anti-whiteness because they see that's, you know, that's the name of the game now is anti-whiteness. And some of them join up by going gay. If you go gay, then it somehow overrides your whiteness. It's like a video game cheat. Is it like a video game cheat? But at any rate, if you go gay, then you can be a repressed minority too.
Right, and by gay we don't mean happy. We mean sodomite in biblical language. Well, no, that's interesting. You talk about the apparent cohesion of the black community and the very obvious discohesion, is that a word, of the white community. But when you're talking about these gangs, they're very divided. So the Post interviewed this Corey Rogers. Corey Rogers is a member of the Black Peystone Street Gang, founded in Chicago. It was founded in the 50s under a different name. But Rogers noted that the Venezuelans are united and that the black gangs are too divided and take each other down. So you got, you know, we mentioned Crips and the Bloods, just the most famous ones, always fighting each other while the Venezuelans are standing as a united front. I wonder if this onslaught against Venezuelan gangs are going to unite the black gang community. That's a question. What do you think about that?
I don't know.
Well, as you point out, blacks tend to unite better, you know, as an ethnic group than Europeans do.
They're certainly more ethnocentric. They're actually pretty daggone ethnocentric.
Yes.
And maybe to the extent that the Jews are, they might be just as ethnocentric as Jews, but they have less capabilities.
Right. But when it comes to taking over their streets, they're going to roll hard because they pop a cap in your ass. So
I guess
I'm predicting a total uniting of black gangs across America
to push back against these Venezuelans and eventually the Haitians, because I think you could argue that the Haitians are even more primitive and, less likely to integrate into the black community than the Venezuelans even are. Especially if a Haitian eats one of these black gang members, pit bull, it's on MF. It's on. We're pushing the lines of class, you know. No, it really is a situation. Think about like the overall goal of the Jewish dominated system is white genocide. I mean, they're open about that. It's not conspiratorial to say that. So on the one hand, you have whites hating themselves, you know, and each other, and unable to form a cohesive political bloc because of racism. You have the FBI coming after whites that do attempt this, saying that they're domestic terrorists. And you have, you know, black gangs fighting Venezuelans in the street. You're right. We don't have a country. This is a huge mess, and it's untenable. Or rather, would you like this word better? Unsustainable. That's a word, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is unsustainable.
It's unsustainable.
And I think we're going to come to a crescendo when we come to the election on what, November 4th, second Tuesday?
I think
second
it's Tuesday, is it the third?
Second Tuesday in November.
It's the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November.
Something like that. Well, that's at any rate.
Constitution.
Because then, you know, when you get to that point, you're going to get a real, not to be doom and gloom, but I think we're going to get a real battlefield in this country, not only online, but maybe even in the streets. Because whatever side wins, the other side is going to say it was faked. And the entire electoral system is now illegitimate in the minds of both sides.
November 5th, by the way, November 5th.
But isn't that interesting that the entire electoral system has now become and will be even more irrelevant in the minds of the electorate and American people in general that don't even vote? If that's by design, then the design is to destroy the country and to destroy the electoral system completely.
There is no longer faith in the electoral system. People accept the results to the extent that their preferred candidate wins.
And so what would be the, if that is by design, and man, it's so in your face, I don't see how it can't be. If it's by design, like, what's the end goal? You destroy the system and replace it with what? Dictatorship?
I don't know if it really is by design, but it's happening. It's happening as a byproduct of, I mean, it happens as a byproduct of cheating elections. It happens as a byproduct of, I mean, really, it's the people like the January 6th people. It's not them, because the January 6th people and Donald Trump actually had a real, real grievance, because there really was massive blatant fraud in 2020. 2016, it wasn't that you had massive blatant fraud. In 2016, you had this insane, retarded accusation of Russia meddling in the election. Well, what's meddling? Meddling is what Scooby-Doo and the gang do. I mean, what does that mean? Were they running around in a rubber mask? How do you meddle in an election? Originally, they were saying hacking the election. But you know, what does hacking mean? I mean, typically hacking is computer hacking. Well, there was absolutely zero evidence of any kind of computer hacking in 2016. So they just say this stuff. I actually don't, I'm not at all convinced that there is a move to destroy faith in elections. I think there is a move to, fake elections, and that the destruction of faith is just a result of that. It's a side effect of it. And what do they want to replace it with? I think they just want to continue to have fake elections.
Well, I mean, a good motive to destroy the current electoral system that we have is 2016, because I think what you had happening there, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that Hillary was ordained to take the presidency, and that they would have done the aggression toward Russia in the Ukraine. NATO would have pushed to set up missiles there to target Moscow. They would have done that way earlier had Hillary taken it. But the American electoral system, brilliantly designed, you know, the Electoral College prevented that, and Trump got in. And so regardless of what you think of Trump, I think the whole Ukraine aggression against Russia, the NATO aggression against Russia through Ukraine, I think that was all postponed by 4 years. And you even said that yourself.
Yeah.
And so
that's right.
So I think the system is looking at this and they're saying, well, look, we've got to get rid of, you know, this Electoral College crap can't go, you know, it's going to keep messing with us, and we've got to, you know, we've got to destroy this current system. Maybe that's a motivation, if even there is a plan to do that. And your position is that it's just
they got out of control and they and now they're acting off the cuff, right? Or what do the kids say?
Yeah. And keep in mind that my brain's not working well today. It seems to me that for decades the system was that largely through the media, through control of the media and the nomination process and things like that, and campaign the media and campaign financing, that you were going to get Bushes and Clintons and people like that. If the 2016 election had been between Jeb Bush and Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, I don't think you would have seen massive white girl fraud, because I don't think the people.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Stopped into a church. Passed along the way. Well, I got down on my knees, and I began to pray. You hear the preacher like the call. He knows I'm gonna stay.
Had been between Jeb Bush and Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, I don't think you would have seen massive electoral fraud, because I don't think the people would have cared enough.
I don't think there was massive electoral fraud in 2000. I think it was close between Bush and Gore. Bush turned out to be really a horrible president, but if you watch the debate between Bush and Gore, it was boring as anything. They really didn't differentiate themselves much from one from the other. So what you had up until 2016 was just two kosher parties that were in control, and there wasn't huge amounts of substantive difference. There was even like on abortion, like we were allowed to get excited and scream about abortion. But if you looked at what was going to happen, whether you had Romney win or whether you had Obama win, it really wasn't even going to matter much for the one issue that people were really allowed to care about. And, nothing else people. But then Donald Trump came along. And the thing about Donald Trump is he already had massive celebrity. He had the most the top rated network entertainment show in the aughts. He had $6 billion and could wage his primary election campaign without raising money, just using his own money. And he was talking about things that weren't supposed to be talked about. First and foremost, massive immigration, where you hadn't really had a strong voice against immigration. Immigration was an issue that was pretty much already settled, and then he came along and unsettled it. And I think, not that Donald Trump is so great and he's off the rails right now, but that was something that really, really shook up the system. And I think they went nuclear and did things that they otherwise wouldn't have done in order to keep Trump out. And that's had repercussions of, decrease in faith in the electoral system and all this stuff. But, the Democrats, they keep talking about the our democracy. So they're still talking democracy. It's just, what does democracy mean now? Democracy doesn't really mean fair elections. Democracy means sodomy and anti-whiteness.
And there's a very small percentage of the American population, even on the left, that support the LGBTQ movement, especially the P part, meaning pedophile. Yeah. But yet they paint it as, well, in a democracy, we have to have this. These people have to be represented. Well, no, in a democracy, majority rules, by the textbook definition. And you wouldn't have the prominence of the LGBTQ community, especially the P. So really, they're not even doing democracy. It's some kind of a weird, top-down power structure that oppresses the people. And, meantime, they give you your Buffalo Wild Wings, your Instagram, your Facebook, and your sporting events to try to keep your mind off of this. But they even screw that up by getting political at sporting events. So, yeah, I would agree with you. This is definitely a knee-jerk reaction to what has went on since 2016.
Yeah. Well, listen, we are out of time, but I want to thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Patrick. I hope you feel better, my friend. Order some extended light.
Good idea. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Stick with me.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.